Before we begin our sermon today, I do want to pray for a couple people in our congregation. One is Lee and Janet Thunberg. As you know, Lee has been really helpful in putting together our finances and organizing our new accounting system and all of that. And he's put in many hours of work. I just really appreciate him. His brother passed away this last week. I think it was last Sunday morning or Saturday morning. And this is his third brother that passed away in 9 months. And Lee is really close to all of his family. And so it's been a really rough year for him. His first brother passed away in September. His second brother passed away in January. And now his brother, who lives in Texas, passed away just the other day. And so Lee is down there. He's participating in the service. And I know he's going to bring glory and honor to the Lord in sharing about his brother. But I'd just like to pray for him. And then I'd like to pray for Stephanie Hayes. Stephanie Hayes is one of our teachers and awesome family. And had a very difficult situation at the middle school this week. There was an individual who found his way into the girls' locker room, and it was on the news and all of that. Well, Stephanie's a PE teacher, and so was involved in that. It's pretty traumatic, pretty difficult. So I just want to pray for Stephanie and that God would just comfort her. It's been a hard week for Talent Middle School. That's the school all my kids went through. Know the principal. Been a wonderful school for us. And so I'd just like to pray for that. It's been a hard week for a couple of our people. And so I want to go before the Lord. So let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you truly are sovereign and you're in control. And Lord, we recognize that we live in a world where there is loss, there is death, there are ugly things going on in our world, and it affects us. And it deeply impacts us. And so, Father, we're grateful that we can come to you, that you are sovereign over all, and you're in control. And it's during these times especially that we cry out to you, we come to you, and we ask you to comfort. And in this case, Lord, for Lee, we ask you would comfort him and Janet. And during this weekend, as they remember his brother, Lord, would you use Lee to proclaim hope and truth that he has in you, Jesus Christ? Lord, I pray that you would use that service to help bring closure for the family. Lord, may they celebrate Lee's brother. Father, may you draw the family closer together to love each other, to be there for one another. But ultimately, Lord, we're totally dependent upon you to comfort Lee and Janet and the family. We ask that your hand be upon them. Lord, in our world, we're aware, so painfully aware, Lord, there are a lot of horrible things that are going on, very perverse things that happen, very disturbing things. And I pray, Lord, for Talent Middle School, for all the children, the kids that are there, the principal, Aaron Sante, and the administrators. Lord, for Stephanie, the teachers that are dealing with this difficult situation. Lord, I ask that you would protect the children at Talent Middle School. Pray that, thank you, Lord, that nothing happened to any individual kid there during this incident. But Lord, we ask that you'd continue to protect the children at that school and in our schools. Lord, we pray that you would bring healing. It's pretty traumatic and pretty frustrating and irritating and angering. And it's just bothersome, Lord, to have to deal with those kind of things. It's painful. And so, Lord, I pray for Stephanie that you would bring healing to her. Lord, that you would use her and the other teachers and the administrators to comfort the kids, to encourage the kids, as next week will be their last week of school. And so, Lord, we ask that you would work in that very difficult situation. Lord, today we want to give praise to you. Lord, we want to hear from you. And Lord, I ask that you would use your word, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us today, that we'd be ready to listen and to take to heart the truth from your word today. So, Lord, meet with us now. We're here to listen. We're here to obey. Shema, to listen with the intent to act and to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, this week, Did you love God with meod? Some of you that weren't here last week, you're going, what in the world are you talking about? If you remember, we were talking about Deuteronomy 6:4. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And one of the things we learned was that we're to love the Lord our God with all our soul. And the soul meaning everything about us, our whole being, we're to love the Lord. And we learned this Hebrew word. You're learning some Hebrew. And we learned the Hebrew word was meod for very much so, like mucho gusto, very much. And so we're to love the Lord very much, a picture of intensity, a picture of enthusiasm, very much so. We're to love the Lord with muchness. So the Lord, to love our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength means that every part of your mind, every part of your body, every part of your emotion, your will, your intellect, every aspect of us is to be in love with God with a whole heart. What would it take? What would it look like when you and I love God in such a way? When we love Him with a whole heart, soul, and muchness, what would it look like? What would our lives be like in order to love God in such a way? And in the next few weeks, I want to take a look at some of the passages in the Gospels. And some of them are going to be parables, some are going to be different stories about the Lord and some of the stories He told and explaining what it is to love God with a whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Our goal is for us to grow and learn to love God with a whole heart. And you might be saying, well, I do love the Lord with a whole heart. And I want to challenge you with this. I think, as we recalled last week, that love for God easily dissipates. It easily seeps out away from us. And after a while, we don't really love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And last week, we were reminded that the Lord is the one who loved the Israelites. In spite of the fact that they turned their back on God and they had forgotten the Lord, that God said in Jeremiah later on, He says, even though you guys have turned against me, even though you have followed false gods, my anger is kindled against you and my wrath is against you. And I'm angry because I'm a jealous God and I want you to love me with a whole heart. And you haven't. And He says, but in spite of that, I want you to know that I have chosen you and I'm going to bring you back into the land and I am going to love you and I'm going to cherish you, and I'm going to give you a single heart for me, and I'm going to give you back the land that you had. You're going to dwell in it, and it's all going to go well with you. And I am doing this with my whole heart and with my whole soul. And what the Lord is saying is that, Israel, in spite of your disobedience, I love you with all my heart, with all my soul. And that's how the Lord feels toward you and me. Even in the times that we really don't love Him as we ought, God is saying, I still love you with my whole soul, with my whole heart. The whole reason that you and I love God is because He first loved us. Love for God does not start with us. It's not like we go out there and say, hey, I think I'm going to start loving God. It doesn't work that way. Love comes from God. 1 John said this, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. This is love, not that we love God, that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So whatever love we express back to God in response to it is in response to His love for us. When God initiates His love for us, when He loves us with His whole heart, with His whole being, only then do we begin to love Him back. And that's what 1 John 4:19 says. It says, we love because He first loved us. So knowing that God loves us in such a way and that we can love Him in response, what does loving God with a whole heart look like? What does it look like? I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verse 44 to 46. And it's a parable. It's the parable of the hidden treasure and of the pearl. Matthew 13, 44, 46. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had, and he bought it. Jesus had begun his 3-year ministry. One of his assignments from the Father was to reveal the kingdom of heaven to the Jewish people. Jesus had been teaching the people in parables about what the kingdom of heaven was like. A parable is an illustrated story presented in a veiled way to communicate one key point. And you might think, well, why would Jesus speak in parables? Why didn't he just tell it like it is? You know, today we like authenticity. Just tell it like it is. Jesus didn't do that in his communication. He spoke through parables. Why? He used parables so that those who were genuinely interested in learning about God's kingdom, who were interested in seeking after God, would continue to pursue Jesus and the truths he revealed. Jesus was saying to the Israelites, hey, you guys, the kingdom of God is come upon you. His Jewish audience would understand the concept of the kingdom of God. When Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like this, they would understand the kingdom of God meant the realm in which God was sovereign over everyone. God was in control. He was the creator God. He ruled over all the heavens and the earth. They believed that and they understood that and they knew that's what it meant in God's kingdom, that God rules sovereignly over everyone and everything. But the Jewish people also believed, and rightfully so, that the universe was divided into two opposing forces that could only be described as the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. There were two kingdoms and they were mutually exclusive and they were in constant conflict with one another. It was the battle between good and evil. It was the battle between God and his angels and Satan and his fallen angels. And by the way, Satan is a created being. He is a created angel. He is just simply a fallen angel. All the other angels who rebelled with him in rebellion are fallen angels. They're all under the authority of God. But there is this battle between good and evil, between God and between Satan, and God's kingdom, the kingdom of the light, is the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. The kingdom of Satan is the kingdom of the ruler of this earth. And that is the battle that we see poured out every day in our culture. The battle between God and evil. The Israelites understood that. What the Jews didn't realize was that Jesus, when he spoke of this kingdom of God, this kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven was the same thing. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, where God reigns and where he dwells, was considered the same term. But the Jews didn't realize that when Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God, he was saying that God's kingdom, folks, is here right now. As I am speaking to you, as Jesus was speaking and healing people and casting out demons, what Jesus was saying, this kingdom of God is here right now. In fact, it's quietly entered into the world right now in my ministry and my mission. And Jesus was inviting the Israelites to come and join this kingdom that was at work in a hidden form within the hearts of mankind. Jesus was calling them to come join his kingdom in which he was the king. It would not be a geopolitical kingdom, but it would be a kingdom where Jesus would rule in every person's heart. It was a spiritual kingdom. It would be a kingdom in which God would provide a way for fallen, sinful humanity to be restored back into a relationship with their Creator God. God would rule within the heart of each subject, and this kingdom of God would grow throughout the years, culminating in the second coming of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ himself, who would then rule for 1,000 years here on this earth. And so Jesus likens the kingdom of heaven to a treasure hidden in a field. And so picture this. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. He says a man came across this field one day. We don't know why he was there, if he was just cutting across the field or if he was checking it out, maybe it was for sale. We don't know why he was going across the field, but he was. And as he's going across this field, he sees something that catches his eye, and he begins to dig it up. And when he digs up this thing, he finds out it's a treasure. And when he looks at it and he sees the treasure, he realizes it is more than what he could ever imagine. The treasure is of incredible value, worth more than anything he has ever seen in his life, more than he could ever own. He buries it back up, probably looks around and says, man, I hope nobody's seeing this. He buries this incredible treasure. He gets up and immediately he goes home and he starts selling everything, puts on yard sales, having yard sales, selling everything he can to get rid of all his stuff, and he sells everything he owns. And he comes up with some money. And then he goes to the owner of the property and he says, I would like to buy your land. Now the reason he has to go and buy the land is you just can't pull out the treasure out of the land and take it. That would be stealing. Or if a slave found a treasure in his master's land, he couldn't take it for him. It belonged to the master. And so up to this point, the treasure that's in the field belongs to the owner of the property. The owner of the property doesn't know the kind of value he has on his property. And so the man goes up to the person and he buys the property from the man. It says, with great joy, he went and sold all that he had and he bought that field. In the companion, the following parable, it's very similar. Jesus says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for pearls. And he says, when he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. The only difference between the two is the one man that was walking across the field wasn't necessarily looking for the treasure. Okay, but the pearl merchant, he knew what he was looking for. He's looking for a treasure. And when he finds it, he does the same thing. And this way, the two are similar. And this is the point of the parable. They both realize the value, and they're willing to sell everything to receive the treasure or to receive the pearl. What is the main point of each of these parables? Remember, a parable really only has one point. There is something about the kingdom of heaven that Jesus is talking about that is of ultimate value. Here's the point. This treasure, this kingdom of God treasure, is so valuable, it is worth giving up everything you have, and I mean everything that you have in order to obtain it. Go and pursue the treasure. That's the point of the parable. Now, for the Jew listening to the parable, it raises a question, well, what is it? What is this treasure? What is the treasure in the field? The treasure in the field was standing right in front of the Jewish listeners. The treasure in the field was Jesus. The greatest treasure in all of life for you, for me, to the Jewish listeners back then, the greatest treasure in all of life is a living, vibrant, dynamic relationship with the King of Heaven Himself, Jesus Christ. Listen to what a treasure Jesus is. Do you believe that? Listen to what a treasure Jesus is for us. I came across Colossians chapter 1. Listen to this treasure. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. For by Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus all things hold together. And Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Jesus is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything Jesus might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now Jesus has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish, and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith. Did you catch that? Jesus is our treasure. Jesus is the one who created it all. He is the one who is beyond time and space. He is the one who designed this creation. He is the one who made us in His image. Jesus is the one who is the head of the church. Jesus is the one whom God sent. Jesus is the one who went to the cross, died for you and me, was buried, rose again on the third day. Jesus is the one who comes and lives in us through the Holy Spirit, and He empowers us to live out this new life. Jesus is the one who has given us the forgiveness of our sin. Jesus is the treasure. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, "For me to live, Christ." That's all that matters. And Paul gave up a lot to follow Christ. Paul was a great teacher. He was a great Pharisee. He was accepted in the community. He would have been popular. He would have been one of the most popular Pharisees in all of Jerusalem. He had it made, fame-wise, probably fortune-wise, and definitely with respect to all the people. But he gave it all up because he realized, I am a sinner and I need Jesus' forgiveness. Jesus is my treasure. And he gave it all up. And what did he gain for it? He gained the Lord. But it involved suffering in his life. It involved persecution. It involved being without shelter sometimes. It involved beating. You know, you would think as the Jewish listeners were listening to Jesus, and they would be sitting there going, "Whoa, this guy's a great teacher. This guy is good. We've seen him heal people. We've seen him cast out demons. We've seen him proclaim truth. He is wise. Wow, what's he saying? I need to follow that. I need to listen to what he's saying. I need to pursue this, what he's saying in the parables. I need to pursue this treasure." And you'd think his listeners would respond to the message. Jesus is telling them, there is something so valuable. Stop what you're doing and go and seek out this treasure. But later on in verse 53 in chapter 13, it says, "When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. And coming to his hometown, he began to teach in the synagogue. And they were amazed at his teaching. And they'd heard these parables. And they'd heard these messages. And they said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers?" And they said, "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Mary's? His mother's name is Mary. And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And aren't all the sisters with us?" By the way, Jesus had four brothers and at least two sisters. He had a big family, and at first none of them believed in him. But anyway, they're there, and he says, they say, "Where did this man get all these things?" And then in verse 57, "And they took offense at him." Jesus was the treasure. And you would think they'd go, "I need to pursue and find out who this treasure is." But what did they do? Their hearts were hardened and their hearts were cold. And they said, "Well, who's this man? We know he grew up around us." And they didn't believe. And they didn't follow him. They didn't treasure Jesus. The treasure was right there in front of them. But they never pursued nor valued the treasure. You might ask, "Hey, Pastor Duane, what in the world does this parable today have to do about loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? What does it have to do with that? My question is, do you and I treasure Jesus above all else? I'm asking myself that question. Lord Jesus, do I treasure you above all else? Above my family? Above my lovely wife and children and grandson? Above ministry in the church? Above 32 years of ministry here? Do I love you and treasure you more than anything and anybody else? How is this parable related? You and I will love God with a whole heart, soul, mind, and strength only when we fully believe that Jesus is the greatest treasure for us to pursue. That in Jesus we have all that really matters, period. He is all we need. He is all we need to seek. Because if we think there is something worth loving more, we will never love Jesus with a whole heart. And so Jesus told the Pharisees, he says later on in John 5, he told the Pharisees, you guys don't seek me. You know all about me. You know me in the Scriptures. I'm in the Scriptures, but you don't seek me. You don't listen to me. You don't listen to the Father's testimony about me. The Scriptures speak of me, and yet you refuse to come to me to have life. You don't really treasure me. You're not really interested in me. And so Jesus goes on to say, I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. That was religious people he was referring to. Very religious. But yet they didn't really treasure Jesus and believe in Him. And Jesus says, you know what? If you don't treasure me, if you don't seek me with everything, you're really not going to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so when I treasure Jesus, I will love Him with all my heart. You know, I can't help but think back to Mary Magdalene. You remember Mary. She was possessed by 7 demons, not just one, but 7. And her life was filled with torment. It was hell. The kingdom of darkness was ruling in her life and her heart. It was destructive. Can you imagine what she went through? And then Jesus comes along. And Jesus casts out all the demons. And she puts her faith in Jesus Christ. And she becomes a Jesus follower. And she follows Him the rest of her life. She helps support Him as He's doing His 3 years of ministry. When He goes up to Jerusalem, He's about ready to go to the cross. She is there at the cross and she sees Him on the cross. And she's still ministering to people. And she gets up early that resurrection morning and she sees where Jesus has been buried. And she goes and she wants to anoint Him further with oils. There is a woman who loved Jesus with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. But there is a woman who treasured Jesus. Do you and I treasure Jesus? This morning, have you found the treasure of God's kingdom? The treasure of God's kingdom is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've not found Him, I invite you to come and put your faith in Him. He's saying, I love you with my whole heart. Will you come? Believe in me. Repent of your sins. Admit your sins to me. Come and put your faith in me, and I will be your God, and I will love you. And you can love me back. For those of us that do know the Lord, what am I doing to pursue the treasure of God's kingdom? Is there something I need to get rid of? Is there something I need to put in order to restore that first love for the Lord? Is there something that I'm not really willing to part with? In the next few weeks and months, things will change here. Okay, as we're in transition, things are going to change. And we might not like change. You've heard the story that the only people that like change are little babies to get their diapers changed. There's some truth in that. But God wants to do a work here in our church. It may require that we change some of our preferences, change some things that He wants to change in us, do things a little different. Are we willing to do that? Or will we hold on and say, no, we've always done it this way, or we got to do this, we got to do that. And God may be saying, no, I want you to do some different things. And with a new person coming in as a pastor, might be wanting to do some things and change some things up. And you know what? We've got to be willing to let go. We're never going to get let go of the truth or God's Word. But there may be some things that we need to let go of and do differently. If we treasure the Lord, we'll be willing to change. We'll be willing to do things differently. Will it be easy? Not necessarily. But it'll be the right thing to do. Someone who loves Jesus with a whole heart understands that the relationship we have with Him in His kingdom of heaven is the most valuable and cherished gift treasure that we could possess and enjoy. And I just want to leave us with this one question, and please understand, this is not meant to be condemning. Please understand that. Is Jesus your greatest treasure? Do you treasure Him more than anyone and anything else? Because that will be the core. When we treasure Jesus more than anyone or anything else, then we will grow in our love for Him with a whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if He is the greatest treasure, it will show clearly in our life. I think back to many of you knew Irene Gorham. And I still remember her coming up. She was in her 80s at the time. What a beautiful picture. You're never too old or young to serve the Lord. And she came into the office, and she couldn't do nursery anymore. She couldn't do some of the things physically. But she said, Dwayne, I just want to make sure. Is there something else I could do to serve the Lord and serve my church? Because I just want to serve my Lord, and I don't want to miss out. I love Him, and I just want to serve Him. And I just went, oh, may your tribe increase. Here's a lady in her 80s saying, I just want to serve the Lord. I never want to give up serving Him. Why? Because she treasured Jesus. And so there was a whole heart for God because she treasured Jesus. When Jesus is your greatest treasure, wholehearted worship naturally follows. And so this morning, what's the takeaway? I want to encourage you with me. Lord, if there's some way in which I'm really not cherishing You, like the man in the field, Lord, I just want to repent of that. I just want to ask Your forgiveness. And Lord, in Your love, because You love me wholeheartedly, You love me with all Your being, Lord, forgive me. And Lord, would You give me a new passion, a new yearning, a new hunger, that I would cherish You, that I would treasure You above all else. And as we do that, then our lives, our love for God will continue on. And God will make a big impact in you and in me. So the call this morning is, let's treasure the Lord. Treasure Him above anything else. Lord, as we look at that parable, Lord, it seems funny. What would that have to do anything with loving You with the whole heart? And yet, Lord, that's the very core of it. Lord Jesus, when we treasure You, we will love You with our whole heart. We can't help but. And so, Lord, in the days to come, would you allow us to examine our hearts? Would you examine our heart, Lord? And Lord, show us maybe where we just don't really treasure you. Maybe there's some other things competing, other things that we need to get rid of, other things that we need to say, Lord, that has become more important to me than you. And so, God, we want to be people who repent, who would ask your forgiveness, say, Lord, forgive us. So, Lord, reveal to us the things that are holding us back from loving you with all our heart. Forgive us for the things, Lord, that rob us of treasuring you above anything else. Lord, thank you that you treasure us. And, Lord Jesus, that you love us with your whole heart, with all your being. We're grateful for that. And now, Lord, we just want to respond back by saying we love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Is there anyone more worthy of our love? Is there anyone worthy, more worthy of our praise and our lives? None more than Jesus, our Lord and Savior. May we love him and treasure him more today than we did yesterday and tomorrow than we did today. Stand and sing, worthy.
Your name, all of
Father, worthy is your name. Lord Jesus, worthy is your name. You're our great God who loves us with all your heart, with all your being. And Lord Jesus, we're reminded this morning that you treasure us. That even when we fail you, even when we fall short, Lord, you love us and you treasure us. Oh Lord, help us in these days to come. Lord, make us. Make us to be the people who would say, Jesus, you're my treasure. You're more and worth anything else in all of my life, Lord. And Lord, as we treasure you, Lord, we will love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it'll be seen. It'll happen, Lord. And so, Lord, thank you for treasuring us. We long to treasure you. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord bless you. See you back here at 5 o'clock tonight. I'll have the pizza, the coffee, and some juice for you. Lord bless you. We'll see you. Thank you.
Never fail, never.